Mr. Haig, reel 13.
What about things more generally? What about the life? It was different from the ship.
Oh yeah, street with a ship.
Much tighter.
Yes, for the simple reason you can get ashore 3 nights out of four.
Yes.
They may say that was a big difference. And I may say all your victuals were there, you should come and eat them. I may say, and unless you was duty division, I may say you simply ate and walked away. Let the duty division do the dirty work.
It was, I mean, in that sense it was a different life, but was it more disciplined really than board ship in many ways?
No, I shouldn't think so, because after all said and done, it was a quiet job for the officers for a start, and a quiet job for everyone who was staff in the barracks. So they didn't want to lose that. So they didn't want to make life a coal ship for themselves. They wanted everything as easy as possible.
And would you get men who were able to kind of make their home in the barracks?
Oh, yes. You've got a lot of people, natives up in Scotland and all that lot. I mean, say they used to live in the barracks and go ashore when they wanted to and that lot. Mm. And go on when any general leave was given, they'd go home.
And some men who might make their, get settled into cushy jobs and...
Oh, yeah, pay their hush money, yeah.
Tell me about the hush money.
Of course, you never see that. But you'd go along, perhaps you had your barrack card. You'd go in and you'd hand in your card, and underneath your hush money you'd say, so-and-so. And the bloke would, yes. Not for that. Or they call another price. And that was your job. I mean, so you bought your job.
How much, what sort of money? Half crowns?
Yes. It was a general and half a dollar.
Could you...
But the best one I had was 1919, just before I went to the Glory. Was it? Just before I went to the Glory. We was in the signal school. I was only in there about a week, something like that. And the schoolmaster sent over the signal school. He said, can I have all the unclassed ratings over? So we all went over the canteen. And they was doing the petty officer's test, part one. He said, all right. He said, all you signal ratings, sit down there in one group. He said, there's the examination papers. Now he said, you see up top where it says name, rating, leave them blank. That's funny. Anyhow, we left them blank. And he was flogging them to these people. He was flogging them to these people, like no hope of passing the education test part one. Don't know how much he got for them, but...
This was quite a thing, was it, in the barracks?
No one knew it. No one knew it. But, nearly everybody did. You tell me how a bloke can go in there from one cushy job to another, while some other poor cuss gets one lousy job after another. It don't work right. You come up with this story. You walk into Pompey Barracks, and the bloke says, I want you for so-and-so. I've just come back from so-and-so. Oh, yes. And then you find out there's people here have been in Pompey Harbour from one job to another for about 3 years.
You told me a case of yourself in this mix. Tell me that one.
That's when I went to the war spike.
War spike, yes.
Yes, we just paid off. We paid off the Keppel the 2nd of February. We'd had our leave. We went under Pompey Barracks, and I walked in. We got in there in the evening sometime. We passed the doctor, just temporary passed the doctor. And the bloke said, all right, he said, you can carry on ashore. So we went ashore. And next morning, we went through the full barrack routine, like the doctor and all the rest of it. Went over to the signal's got a report, and he says, just the bloke. What do you mean, just the bloke? He said, want you for the war spite. Of course, she was just getting ready to go out then. She was in Dockyard Ends. I said, war's point. I said, well, where's she going? He said, men in raining. What are you talking about? I said, I've just come back from men. He said, you can please yourself. He said, you know, but either the war's point, the Coventry, or one the 4th Flotilla. I said, well, they're all blasting Mediterranean. He said, yes. He said, that's all there is. I said, you mean to tell me I'm the only bloke available? I said, when you've got all these blasted stanchions sculling around here? No, he said, yes. He said, if you don't want the horse party, he said, you can have run the 4 foot tonight. You go to hell. Anyhow, we went to the horse party and it was the general strike, 26. Instead of going straight out the Med, we went up to Greenock, strike duty. Anyhow, we left Greenock and went out the Med, got out to Malta. And, oh, on the way out, the signal officer, Curzonell, he'd been first lieutenant of barracks. He said to me, he almost said, hey, where did you come from then? I said, oh, Portsmouth barracks. He said, oh, I can't remember seeing you there. I said, oh, no, I said, I only joined it on the 2nd of February. I said, I come round from Plymouth on the 2nd of February. I said, I was told straight off for this ship. He said, oh, he said, you didn't do long in barracks, like 3 days. Oh, he said, oh, he says, where'd you come from? I said, the capital. He said, what, Mediterranean? I said, yes. I said, I'm not the only one, I said, who's got that. I said, there's a couple more, I said, in the ship. I said, just come back from Mediterranean. I said, coming straight out. I said, there's also 2 or 3. I said, one just finishing all his time for pension. I said, never been Easter Jib. He said, oh, he said, I'll have a look into this. Apparently he checked up on what I was saying about me and these others. And never said another word to him. But sometime after the R-Class Revenge Resolution and Ramillies Royal Oak come out, and I went aboard one of them to just make me, well, just see the chief gentleman. You know, I see him and was talking to him. He said, here, he said, you know who's chief to Lake Christine? I said, no. He said, so-and-so. I said, what? I said, he told me he'd got 2 years to do in barracks. Stop drunk. And yes, he said, he hasn't. He said, he went over, he said, the drafting office, he said, he raised it on the drafting office, told him over there that there's no one except the chief doing the long course officers who's excused draft. So he comes straight out his cell. So of course now did pull some strings.
I just showed you. There were things to be done though. I mean, this could happen, and if...
Oh yeah.
You weren't really witty enough or wizard enough.
Oh, yeah.
If I had had a half crown or a pound or something then, could you have heard of that?
I don't know, see, because I didn't know him. I may say, you wouldn't risk it unless you knew the bloke. See, I may say, I thought, you know, 2 or 3 days in the barracks and you'd have found out, who's who, what's what.
You do that, so that usually how it happens, is it, you get...
Well, actually, I've never handed over palm oil. I said, I don't believe it. Yeah.
You do get to know who's what, yeah, and how things are.
Yes, you get to know who takes it. See, now the signal school crusher, I mean, see, he was a great bloke for that. If you was duty weekend and you wanted a weekend off, I mean, say, you should cost you half a crown. He had more or less a standing money. He used to arrange with the regulating office and you would suddenly switch from your duty division to something else. I'm available to go home that weekend. I don't know how much he'd give the regulating office out of this half a dollar, but that was the standing price for a weekend.
Quite a bit of money in that then.
Oh, yeah. But of course, I may say, you could never prove anything. I may say, if you got up in front of the beak and started expounding that, I may say, you get out of court.
But everyone knew it went on just as...
Yeah. Well, you've only got to look at the cases that have occurred since you remember the Bitlin Yard affair. Well, see the ramifications of that. Well, I may say, the old motto, you know, it's good if you can't stop a swindle, join it. But I may say,
did that go on in that time as well? I mean,
yes, definitely. I mean, say,
like that.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
What such as?
Well, that examination.
Yes.
PO's examination, that's one case. And that was a WO, you see, doing that. I mean, say, and then there was the chief right, before the First World War, yes, right up to the First World War, you never paid any money for your slops. So you used to put them down on a chit and get stopped out again. Well, the chief rider and the chief pusser between them could work a swindle. So that you know, on your list, which you never see, you'd have suddenly bought off the putter one gross of bone buttons or something else, some tripe like that. And all this lot, then you get suddenly, people, you know, get this lot, and it was stopped out of your money automatically.
They had you always, hadn't they, really?
Oh, yes, yeah, they got you by the scruff of it. Of course, you never see your accounts at all. And I mean, say, in those days when you used to just put down on a chit and not pay any money for your slops, you know, say you never knew how you stood. You used to get, once a quarter, you used to get the clear up, like when they're supposed to pay you all the money they owe you, what they deducted and all that lot, and your run money and all that lot was supposed to come out in the quarterly settlement. But I mean, so you never knew then.
And life ashore in these barracks towns, like Plymouth, Portsmouth, I should say, or Chatham for that matter, you said that the local people were not fond of sailors.
No, I mean, say they were, nearly all of them, their living was got by the Navy, I mean, say in Dockyard and all that lot. They had no time for the Navy at all. But you used to get a lot of the girls, they used to pick up a blue jacket, a young one especially, and say, oh look, do you know with two of your silks I can make a lovely blouse? Two silks they used to have to make a lovely blouse, and that's all the bloke got out of it, was goodbye or something.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing you told me about this was that during the war, the Portsmouth
yes,
people wanted
yes.
the Navy's leave
stuff. Yes, they said, well, they're eating the civilians' provisions. And of course, that didn't go very well with the naval authorities.
Definitely not. But was this one of the reasons, I think, you also said that the Navy was forced into pubs at the Royal Standard?
Yes.
Because the local...
Yes, because they were, they were treated like dirt. And you've got the shore patrol, see, I mean, say, would make them look lower because take your hands out of your pockets. What are you doing arm in arm with your wife? Well, I mean, I say, that give the inhabitants a good impression, didn't it, for a start?
Yeah, everything was kind of against you that way, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. But I'll tell you a good one. I was there when I was in the St. Vincent. An ordinary salt of the line. I was doing boatman, that's on the quarter deck, and I can report all boats what they've got and all that lot, officers ashore and all that guff. Anyhow, the officer walks on under me, he says, you're going ashore tomorrow, ain't you? And this was Saturday afternoon. I said, yeah. He said, well, look, he says, I shall be walking through St. Mary's Street about so and so and so and so. He said, no, I shall be in civilians, he says, but I shall have a young lady in tow. He said, no, he said, don't forget, he says, if you see me, a good salute, he says, and there's a shilling for you. And believe me, he got his good salute. Round there, and I met him again coming round St. Thomas's Street, give him another one for the bob. He wanted to impress this dame that he was some guy. I don't know whether he told him he was an admiral or what, but he got two beautiful salutes. So you see, bribery and corruption.
Top and bottom, eh?
Yeah.
The other thing, you just...